Welcome to the Post-Christian Podcast, where we help you make disciples in our increasingly post-Christian world. My name is Eric Bryant. I'm one of the executive pastors at Gateway Church in Austin, Texas, along with the founder of Catalyzing Community. You can go to ericbryant.org to sign up for my email newsletter to receive free resources. Well, on today's episode of the Post-Christian Podcast, I'm excited to have with me Roger Helland. How are you doing, Roger?
I'm doing fantastic. We're up here in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, north, winter finally, but doing good. Love what's happening in our world up here. So
I'm so glad. Well, I'm excited to learn a little bit more about that world. I have church leaders, pastors that are trying to reach and disciple in an increasingly post-Christian world, and Canada certainly fits that category. You've been a pastor, you teach, you also are an author. One of the things that struck me most is one of your roles currently is prayer ambassador for the Evangelical Fellowship of Canada. What do you see in terms of the prayer life of the churches that are really doing a good job of reaching out? Like, what are some of the things, if you could encourage a church leader on prayer, what are some of the things you would normally point towards?
Well, the first thing I would say, you got to have prayer as a high priority as much as preaching and worship are. So a lot of our church services really put a strong focus and value, rightfully so, on the proclamation of the word, but also worship. But I think Jesus did say my house, my temple, the place of my habitation, the place of my presence, the place of worship and teaching and all of that has got to be revolving around prayer. His house should be a house of prayer. So I think there's a shift that must really take place, I think theologically and practically, where we put prayer, preparation for prayer, delivery, different types of prayer, and make it the fuel that really, I think, sustains vitality, flourishing, mission, evangelism, and life change in our people and in our community. So that's part of my role as a prayer ambassador for the Evangelical Fellowship of Canada, as I work with a lot of denominations, churches, ministry organizations, and theological schools.
Well, and talk about, you said there's some, you know, exciting things going on in the world of the church where you serve. What do you see God doing there in Canada? What do you see God doing in the midst of some, what would some would say is very trying time? You know, there's a lot of resistance to Christianity, at least how it's displayed on the news. But what are you seeing that's encouraging you?
Absolutely. Well, in Canada, we're absolutely a post-Christian nation. In fact, we're a secular nation. You know, you don't find prayer and sort of religious welcome too much in the halls of government and in politics and in business and in our society. It's just sort of relegated to your private life, your devotional life, your religious life, whatever, but it really doesn't have a voice as much as it does, I think, more in the United States, even though it's been challenged a lot. But there are places in the U.S. where I think at least the Christian faith and the Bible and prayer and things like that are somewhat respected. Clergy are somewhat respected. That's becoming less and less so. But here in Canada, we have a very secular approach to life and culture, and it's taken its toll. And so the church has been on the margins for quite some time. We're not in the mainstream. We don't have the same voice and authority that we once had. And so we, you know, have to work as emissaries for Christ, as ambassadors. We have to be people of the presence. I wrote this book called Pursuing God's Presence and really try to showcase how we can live out the presence of God, the manifest presence of God in our home, our workplace, in our community, and in our churches. And so I think across the country, there's a growing consensus and a hunger across denominations, across provinces for revival, for renewal, for an outpouring of the Spirit. And so I'm privileged to be a part of a variety of different movements across a spectrum that there's a hunger and I think an expectation that God is really going to move. That's exciting for me because we're seeing answers to prayer. We're seeing common ordinary people and pastors become more committed and devoted to prayer. And so that's really part of the fire that fuels what I do on a daily basis.
Well, and that's where I feel like your book is such a gift to the church. As you mentioned, it's called Pursuing God's Presence, A Practical Guide to Daily Renewal and Joy. We're going to give away a few copies for free to those who receive my email newsletter. But I want to talk about that for a little bit, because I do think that in cities and provinces and wherever you may be, when there's post-Christian people or the entire culture is like that, there is still a hunger for hope, something bigger than ourselves. And I think there's things happening in our world and in the hearts of people who may have seemed far, far away from God, where if they could experience God's presence, whether it's in the Sunday morning experience that they may have reluctantly gone to, or if it's learning to connect with God on their own, I think there is something longing in each person. But let's talk a little bit about the book. What are some of the things you would say to a church leader to help them make pursuing God's presence a regular part of their life?
Yeah, you know, I think that's a great sort of way to sort of segue into the sort of the overview of what I try to present in this book. You know, I'm a pastor teacher, so I've got a pastor's heart, but I've got a teaching sort of framework where I want to bring inspiration and story and narrative and illustration that really, you know, presents the ideas in a way that I think are practical. And so I try to support what I have to say from a biblical and theological perspective, and, you know, sort of a journey all the way from my own upbringing in Southern California. I was a pagan. People ask me, what is your background? I answer with one word. It's the word pagan. And that means I was a bad boy. I lived in the darkness. We never went to church. We didn't read the Bible. We didn't pray. I lived in a totally secular family where Jesus Christ was a swear word. But the Lord had his eyes on me and he called me into his kingdom. I mean, I was a drug dealer at Southern California, and the Jesus Revolution movie is sort of that came out last year, sort of depicts the fringes of what I was saved on during the hippie era.
Wow.
You know, the long-haired sort of protest of the government against Vietnam and the civil rights movement. I mean, it was just turmoil, and I was caught up in all of that. But the Lord saw fit to call me into his kingdom, and I was actually stoned on LSD, believe it or not. A friend of mine that became a Jesus freak back then. Led me to the Lord. And I prayed my first prayer. I said, Jesus, if you're real, I want to believe. And he took me up on that offer. And a couple weeks later, I experienced what I felt, the first encounter of the presence of God that I call my own personal Pentecost. I just felt this inrush of joy and light and love into my heart. I know it was the move of the Spirit in my life. And so, you know, all the way from my personal testimony to God calling me to become a pastor, and then ultimately become a leader in prayer and devoted to prayer, and then committed to seeking his presence. There's a whole sort of narrative that I try to lay out personally, but I think practically for each person out there who would read this, where I develop the notion of seeking the presence of God, experiencing the presence of God, and hosting his presence sort of in that framework. And the key verse that I just love, that I think is worth memorizing, is in Psalm 105, verse 4, where it says, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his presence continually. It really means to beat a path to the Lord and to inquire of him, to obtain him, to discover and search for in an intentional way, and to seek his face, literally pane, his face, his presence, which is translated. And it says it to do it continually. So there's a supreme call that we know from Scripture, that when we believe that God exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek or search for him, we're told in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that is the central call of life. And it needs to be, I think, imported into our entire lifestyle at home, which I talk about in our church and in our community, in our workplace. There's ways to embody and seek the presence of God in our workplaces, and in our personal lives through holiness and prayer and different practices that I discover. So that's kind of a broad overview.
I love it. I think it's so important. Maybe some practical guidelines or tips for those who maybe they're an extrovert They struggle to sit in silence, or they have ADHD, and and sitting still can be difficult. What are some of the things that you've seen help you or help others develop this kind of intentionality, regardless of personality style?
Yeah, you know, I think that's great. The central practice that I lay out in one of my chapters, kind of the central sort of feature, and this may sound basic, but it's surprising how uncommon it is for people to actually devote themselves to prayer and to practice the awareness of God. That in itself, I think, if people can really grapple with, we all pay attention to different things. We put different things as priority. We seek after certain things that we put a high value on. So for example, if you have children and you're in a store somewhere and your children go running away and you lose sight of them, I know what happens as a parent. Everything is focused on finding those children, you know, or you're at a playground somewhere and you got all these kids running around and all of a sudden you lose sight of your own children. Your heart starts to beat fast and you start, you know, freaking out. And I can tell you, or if you lose your wallet or your iPhone, whatever, it's pretty central. So I would say when prayer becomes central to our search for God, where as soon as we get up in the morning, like I do, and I begin to read scripture, I begin to journal, I begin to reflect and quiet my busy life and my emotions and heart, I start developing the capacity to become aware and to be attentive to God. And I would say that's one of the first part, I cover it in here. I talk about the practice of enchantment and how that we even looking at nature. Like right now, there's quite a bit of snow here up in Alberta and Calgary. You know, it's beautiful, the white snow. You walk outside, it's just pristine beauty. And the creation speaks. It showcases the presence of God, you know. Or we're talking or listening to a sermon or listen to music or walking, and we have these thoughts and things that come inside of us that we don't, they just seem to appear. And sometimes it's the voice of God speaking to us. So I'd say, you know, practicing his presence through prayerfulness as a regular routine of our life, as much as anything else we do, is one of the key ways in which we begin to experience his presence. We become more conscious of him, even though he's everywhere present, like the air we breathe. But the moment we start to pay attention, we can notice, wow, I'm breathing in and I'm breathing out. And now I'm sensing and experience the presence of God. Whether you're an extrovert or an introvert, I think Jesus in a lot of ways was an introvert, because he pulled away from people and he would spend time alone with God in, you know, lonely and desert places. And then he'd reemerge in the public arena and engage with people. There was this rhythm of, you know, withdrawal and engagement. So that's part of it. There's a whole lot more I could say, but that's the starting gate.
Well, it's a great place to start. And I wanted to ask you, just coming to faith in the midst of the Jesus Revolution and someone who is seeing signs of spiritual renewal, just maybe speak to that. Obviously, your book is a great guide to help us with renewal as individuals. Right. But what have you seen churches who are experiencing spiritual renewal or an awakening? What are some of the elements you've seen that we can either pray for or foster as church leaders?
Yeah, I mean, anytime we encounter the presence of God, transformation is going to happen. Every encounter with God in scripture invited those people into a place of holiness, into a place of healing, into a place of conversion, into a place of revelation or encounter with God's personhood, right? So, I mean, the Old Testament has all kinds of accounts whereby when God manifests himself in very specific ways, people just didn't go ho-hum and walk away. No. They were on their face. They feared God. There was change in their life. Their names sometimes were changed. The direction of their life was changed. Certainly in the New Testament and throughout church history, we see in revival history. And I know that there's different churches that have really embraced the pursuit of the presence of God. For example, there's a church here in Calgary, quite a large church, that has actually devoted themselves to become a house of prayer for all nations. About 8 years ago, through the influence of Daniel Henderson and Jim Cimbala and people like that, they really felt a call to be a house of prayer, not just a house of preaching and worship and programs and all the things that they do, but it's beginning to shape the culture of those people, where they have regular times of praying for healing on you know, evenings, and they'll have worship times where they, you know, again, they incorporate prayer as a strategic priority, and you begin to sense the presence of God. I walked out of the Sunday service here, my wife and I, just a week ago, and we're preaching through the book of Revelation, believe it or not, through all the, talking about the church in Laodicea and how lukewarmness is not a good place to be. But when the vitality of his presence begins to really get into our space, we experience joy, we experience pleasure, we experience transformation, conversion, healing, and the abundant life in Christ, and revival. And that's just in a church. But one of the go-to places that I direct people to and watch the videos, and there's a documentary now, is Asbury University last February, when, you know, after the chapel service, February the 8th, 2023, Zach McCreeves, who's actually going to be on a Billy Graham call in next month that I'm a part of, sharing his journey of speaking and then the outpouring of the Spirit, where all these students were just convicted of their sin and began to pray and confess, and the word got out, and, you know, social media, and pretty soon thousands of people were flying to Wilmore, Kentucky, from all over the world. Why? Because of the presence of God. It was so strong. It was so compelling. They stood in line for hours and hours and hours in the freezing winter cold to get into Hughes Auditorium. When's the last time we had people lining up outside in the dead of winter?
Powerful.
To get into our church services. It'll happen if we pursue the presence of God and seek his face with all of our hearts.
I love it. Well, Roger, thank you so much. You can find more at pursuinggodspresencebook.com. Roger, thanks for what you're doing, and really appreciate the time today.
It's been my pleasure. May God bless all of you Texans and those who are listening from other locations as well. I've spent 4 years in Dallas, so I love Texas. And
I love
the
it.
The big state, so lots of good stuff going on down in your state. May God
That's
bless
right. you. Thank you so much. Thanks for joining us on the Post Christian Podcast. More resources available at ericbryant.org.